I hope you remember that a couple of Christmases ago, we took a big offering because we wanted to give a house to a homeless mother and her kids. Do you remember that? We're working with the city mission. Well, we looked for a year to buy a house that we could remodel, but the housing market changed. All those houses are getting snapped up and flipped. So because we couldn't do that, we bought a lot in Old Brook from the Cleveland Land Bank. And the deed was finally filed this week. And on the 14th of September, we dig the hole for this mission house. I will be introducing you to the mother and her four children. The city mission have tutored them and they're all ready. And hopefully by January, a homeless mom and her four kids will be living in a brand new house in Old Brooklyn that you built. But to make it affordable, we have to do some of the work, right? And on the week of the 28th, we're going to put the walls up. And if you have any carpenter skills and you'd like to help, I'd like you to contact me by email or whatever, because we want to get that all framed in 1 week. And so if we can get some people there during the week every day, we can get that house framed. And we can get another friend of mine, the Simmons brothers, are going to put the roof on it. And we'll be ready for winter. And all we have to do is we got to get it framed. So I'm counting on you for help on that. Okay. Our dear Heavenly Father, you offer us something better than what we can find in our culture. We find ourselves commonly disappointed with the leadership that comes out of our culture. And so I pray that you could help us to see Jesus Christ today as the best spiritual leader that we could possibly follow. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. I hope you recognize that there are a lot of people who are offering themselves as leaders. In a congregation this size, with the election coming up, almost everybody here has a favorite. Let me tell you something. The person you like probably won't be as good as you want them to be. And the person that you don't like, they're probably not as bad as you think they are. It just turns out that this is America, and we make everything worse than it is. So, the candidate you think is wonderful, they probably won't do all the wonderful things you want them to do. The candidate you think is the end of the world, they're probably not as bad as you think they are. But there are leadership ideas that make all the difference in the world. Let me give you an example. Friedrich Nietzsche was the son of a pastor. And he grew up and he developed these strange ideas. Whenever he talked about common people like you and I, he called us the bungled and the botched. That's how he described the average person. Bungled and botched. He wrote in one of his books, this is a quote, "I test the power of will according to the amount of resistance it can offer to the amount of pain and torture it can endure and know how to turn to its own advantage." Now listen to this. "I do not point to the evil and the pain of existence with the finger of reproach. Rather, I entertain the hope that one day there may be more evil and there may be more suffering than there has ever been." And that guy offered himself as a leader. You say, well, that just sounds like philosophy to me. Nietzsche died in 1900. Within a decade of his death, the world was cast into its first world war. Ideas make their way into leadership places, and they cause a great deal of damage. Not long after World War I is over, we were plunged into World War II. And the Nazis looked to Nietzsche as a guiding idea for their philosophy of government. You say, Doc, that was 75 years ago. On the streets of America today, we still see the neo-Nazi movements and all of their insane ideas and all their ugly behaviors. We have to be careful about the ideology that we are allowing to guide us. Which is why I'm offering to you the idea that the church is supposed to be countercultural. We're not supposed to be the people who just go along and get along. We're supposed to be following something better and offering the world around us something better. If all we do is blend in to the crowd, if all we do is go along with the anger of our times, if all we do is spout resentful statements on the internet and treat people poorly, we cannot be followers of Jesus Christ. To be followers of Jesus Christ, we have to be countercultural. And we have to say, because the culture is angry, doesn't mean I have to be angry. Because the culture is resentful, I don't have to be resentful. Because the culture has lost its way in learning how to treat people right and really caring about individuals, it doesn't mean I have to be that way. And if we're going to be countercultural, we got to follow a better spiritual leader. And so the author of Hebrews says, since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the spiritual leader of Christians. And we don't recognize any leader higher than Jesus Christ. He is our spiritual leader. He's the greatest of all high priests because he's the Son of God. When I follow Jesus Christ, I'm not just following a guy with a good political agenda. I'm following the Son of God. Probably the greatest theologian in the English language was John Owen. And he wrote this, God is represented to us in Christ far more clearly, certainly, steadily, effectually, and operatively than any can attain in or by other means. Let me make this easy. When you follow Jesus Christ, you're following the clearest divine leadership God has ever given to mankind. When you follow Jesus Christ, you're following the most certain divine leadership. When you follow Jesus Christ, you're following the most steady divine leadership. I've led this church for 38 years. Look, I've had my inconsistencies. I've had my ups, I've had my downs. I had my good days and I had my bad days. Church, Jesus Christ never had a bad day. He never showed up at work grouchy one time. He's steady. He is the steady leadership of God in the human life and in the human soul. He is an effective leader. A lot of leaders have good ideas, but they're ineffective in making them happen. Jesus is the effective leadership of God. And he is the operative leadership of God. What does that mean? You mustn't ever think that when Jesus was here walking around by Galilee and in Jerusalem, that he was more effective than he is now. Jesus is as effective today in leading people as he was 2,000 years ago. In fact, he's probably more effective. He's probably more operative because he has more of us to work with now than he had then. Christ is at work in the world today just like he was then. He's still the operative divine leader of God's cause in the world. If you follow Christ, where is he going to lead you? He's going to lead you where he has already been. I don't want to follow somebody who's guessing, do you? I don't want to follow somebody who's behind the scene is flipping a coin to go right or left. The scriptures tell us that he's already passed through into the heavenlies. You see, at the end of our lives, we got to pass through. There is a portal that we have to pass through. Some people call it the tunnel of light. I've heard all kinds of descriptions. Okay, here's what I believe. I have to pass from this life to another life, and I want somebody who knows the way. I don't want somebody to make an accidental mistake and lead me to the place I don't want to go. Can I have one amen? I want someone who knows where they're going. And Jesus Christ is a superior leader because he's already passed through. He already said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He already gave up life. He already passed through. And on the third day, he was resurrected and he's alive and reigns today in heaven. He knows how to get us where we want to be. And because of that, he is the best spiritual leader. The author of Hebrews continues, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Our spiritual leader does not condone our weaknesses, but he sympathizes with us. I hate that kind of religion that can't be sympathetic when people are struggling and having hard times, don't you? I hate that kind of religion that is full of condemnation because we're weak and we make mistakes. That's not how our spiritual leader is. He isn't, he's not quick to judge. He understands our weaknesses. Now please, he doesn't condone them, but he understands them. Every one of us came in here today with weaknesses. If you look around and you look at everybody here, there's everyone seated here this morning has an internal character weakness. None of us have perfect character. I mean, look around. Everybody looks good on the outside, but we got brokenness on the inside. All of us. Can you hear me? He doesn't condone my brokenness. But he sympathizes. And listen to what he says. I'll help you get better. I'm not going to kick you down because you're not getting it right, but I am committed to helping you get better. Everyone here has besetting sins. You know that thing that kind of keeps showing up in your life no matter how hard you try to get rid of it? The thing you pray about, but it comes back. We have besetting sins. Christ doesn't condone my besetting sin. But he's sympathetic. He says, I know what you're struggling with. Let me help you. Church, we all have weakness of faith. If only we had the faith and the courage to believe Christ, what great things might we have accomplished? What changes might have happened in the world if we just had the faith to try the hard thing that he wanted us to try? He understands our lack of courage. He is the most courageous leader you'll ever meet. I hope you can read the Gospels. I hope you can see the courage he had. I hope you see that when it was him against everyone, he had the courage to do the next right thing. When they all forsook him and fled, he didn't give up. He had the courage to do the next right thing. when they paid false witnesses to bring accusations against him at the kangaroo court of the Sanhedrin. He didn't give up. He had the courage to do the next right thing. When the Romans beat him with whips, they could not beat down his courage, and he had the courage to do the next right thing. And when he carried the cross and stumbled, he had the courage to get up and do the next right thing. And when they crucified him, and he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God, he had the courage to do the next right thing. Can I tell you, we follow a courageous leader. And he says, I understand you lack courage. I sympathize. Let me help you. Some of you have hard things to do this week. You got hard things to do. You got serious problems you have to face, and you're not sure you have the courage for it. Let me tell you, you don't have to do it alone. You got to create a courageous leader, and he said, I'll be right beside you if you let me. I'll be right beside you if you let me. You can hitchhike on my courage. I'll be there for you. Our spiritual leader is sympathetic because he's been tested in every way we have. Do you remember the testing of Jesus Christ in the Gospels? John baptized him, and immediately the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness. He was in quarantine for 40 days. He didn't see anyone, didn't talk to anyone, was all by himself. And at the end of the 40 days, the unholy one showed up to him. And listen to what he said. He's fine. I like children. They make happy sounds. Listen what the unholy one said. He went right to Christ's security. He said, you think you're the Son of God, don't you? If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus said, yeah, you can test me, but here's the truth. I know that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He passed the test. He passed the security test. Then the unholy one took him to the pinnacle of the temple. I've been to the temple. I've seen the corner that is the pinnacle of the temple. And scholars say that the entrance that most people came into the temple is right by the pinnacle of the temple. You see, back in those days, if you were a common person like us, you went into the common person door. And if you were a swell, an aristocrat, or a priest, you got to go in through a special door. So most of the people came in through to the temple through the gate that is right by the pinnacle of the temple. And the unholy one said to Jesus, hey, jump off! What a big splash you can make! He'll send his angels, and they'll pick you up, and people will see you just gently levitating down to the ground, and they'll say, oh, this is awesome! He passed the shortcut test. And he said to the unholy one, man does not, he said to the unholy one, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. Then he took him to a high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I'll give all of this to you if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, I don't need it. I don't need it. Let me tell you something. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Our leader was tested in ways beyond what you and I can imagine. When you're tested, he sympathizes with you. When you're tested, he doesn't write you off as a loser. When you're tested and you don't come through the way you should, he doesn't abandon you. He has been tested in every way we have, with one really big difference. He never sinned. Our spiritual leader proved that he was worthy to lead because he was tested in every way as we are, and yet without sin. I want to follow somebody who's been tested in every way and figured out how to get it right every single time. Can you hear me, church? Every single time. The author of Hebrews says again, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I wonder, when you think about Jesus Christ seated on a throne, do you see it as a throne of judgment, where he's got the Ten Commandments in one hand and a giant thunderbolt in the other hand, and he's just sitting there waiting to judge you for every mistake you make? Or do you see him seated on a throne of grace, saying, "I'm going to treat you better than what you deserve every day of your life"? You see, it matters. This text doesn't tell me he's seated on a throne of judgment. The text doesn't tell me that he's measuring me against the Ten Commandments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long. The scripture says he's got a different attitude. It says he sits on a throne of grace, and he rules by saying, "I'll treat you better than what you deserve. I'll treat you better than what you deserve. I'll treat you better than what you deserve." I want to follow a leader who's not quick to judge me, but is quick to treat me better than what I deserve. Can you hear me, church? I want to follow a leader who's seated on a throne of grace, not seated on a throne of ugly judgment and condemnation. Our spiritual leader leads us with two great qualities. The character qualities of leaders are important. Here's two Christ's greatest character qualities: mercy and grace. Mercy's kind of a fuzzy word. Let me remind you what it means: lenient and compassion. Mercy means lenient. Do you know that Christ has been lenient to you? I have people from time to time say, "This terrible thing happened. Why did God do that to me? Why did God treat me that way?" Could I tell you, if you feel that way, you've gotten so far from him that you can't really see his heart. In every broken moment, his attitude toward you is mercy and grace. I want you to know Christ has been more lenient to me than I could ever imagine. When I was an obnoxious elementary school kid, torturing my parents and every teacher that I had, he was more lenient to me than they were. When I was a high school kid and I thought I knew it all, Christ was more lenient to me than the people around me. When I've made mistakes in life, Christ has been more lenient to me than the people around me. Do you hear this? When you follow Christ, you're not following someone who's looking to finger point at you. You're following someone who says, "I'm lenient, and I'm going to help you get better." You're not going to get better by me abusing you. You're going to get better by me being lenient to you and leading you to a better place. I want to follow that kind of leader. He's also gracious. I want to say this again. He is the lenient Christ, and he is the gracious Christ. Every day, his mercies are new. That's what the scriptures say. His mercies are new every morning. His grace is infinite. I don't know how you'll need his mercy next week, but if you follow Christ, your leader will be merciful to you. I don't know how you'll need his grace next week, but if you follow Christ, he'll find a way to treat you better than what you deserve. It's who he is. It's how he leads. Our leader helps us, and we receive help in the good time. Listen to this, church. Some of you have the idea that God needs your help. Some of you have the idea that God's pretty lucky to have you. You're a pretty good person. Hey, God kind of scored when he got you. You're not like those other losers out there. Church, let me tell you something. God doesn't need your help. He's infinite in power and wisdom. What do you think you can do for somebody who's infinite? When we think we're helping him, we're probably just getting in the way. God doesn't need my help. I need his help. And he sits on a throne of grace, and his mercies are new every day, and he treats me better than what I deserve, and he is there to help in the good time. That's the literal translation of the Greek word there. The good time. God has an exact time to give you the help that you need. Can you remember the 23rd Psalm? Listen, how does he lead us? He leads us beside still waters. He gets you to the still water at the right time. How does he lead us? He leads us into green pastures. He gets you into the green pasture at the right time. How does he lead us? He leads us in ways that restore our souls. He restores your soul in the right time. Church, he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you got this? You have a great leader who is able to help you, and he knows the exact timing to give you the help that you need. And he's merciful and gracious enough to do it. You know, we can't help Christ, but we can help each other. Christ doesn't need my help. He's infinite. He knows everything. He has all power. He's everywhere present. There's nothing I can do for him. But you know what? We can help each other, church. And if you're following Jesus Christ, you're going to want to help each other. You're going to want to stop pointing your finger at people and start treating them the way Christ wants them to be treated. Can you hear me? You're going to stop looking at people who are different than you and judging them, and you're going to look at people and treat them the way Christ wants them to be treated, because you are a follower of Christ. You're going to stop being angry with people who have an opinion different than yours and feeling like you have to persuade them or belittle them or insult them. And you're going to start treating people the way Christ treats them because you're his follower. I want you to look at people that are different from you and you don't like and say, if Christ can be merciful to me, I can be merciful to them. Church, listen to me. Are we following Christ, or are we just doing whatever we want and calling ourselves Christians? You're going to look at people who have opinions very, very different than yours, and instead of judging them, you're going to treat them better than what you think they deserve, because we are following Christ. And that's what our leader does, and that's what he wants us to do. A great way you could help other people is be part of our life group ministry. Diana's signing up new life group leaders. You don't have to be a genius, but you know what you need to be? You need to be merciful and gracious. You need to be ready to treat people nice, kind, gently. Can you hear me, church? The help you need, your leader knows how to get it to you exactly when you need it. I want to end with this. The author of Hebrews says, because we have this kind of leader, let us come boldly. Let us come boldly. You can come boldly to your leader. You don't have to grovel. You don't have to crawl. You don't have to be miserable and full of agony. You can come boldly to your leader and say, I want to follow you. I want to be where you are. I want to experience more of your mercy. I want to experience more of your grace. I want to get your help when I need it. And I want you to lead me into the heavens where you've already passed yourself. I wonder, have you ever said to Christ, I would like you to be my spiritual leader? Has there ever been a time in your life that you just simply, honestly said to Christ, I recognize I can't do this by myself. And the more I try to do it, the more unhappy I am. I'm asking you to be the spiritual leader of my life. I know I have weaknesses. I'm asking you to lead me to a better place. I know I have failures. I'm asking you to forgive my failures and help me to do better. I know I have attitudes I shouldn't have. I'm asking you to teach me something better and help me to follow you in a closer way. Church, when you follow Jesus Christ, you're following the clearest leadership God can give you. When you follow Jesus Christ, you're following the most certain leadership God can give you. When you follow Jesus Christ, you're following the most steady leadership God can give you. When you follow Christ, you're following the most effective leadership God can give you. When you follow Christ, you're following the most operative leadership God can give you. When you follow Christ, you're following the most sympathetic leadership God can give you. When you follow Christ, you're following the most merciful leadership God can give you. And when you follow Christ, you're following the most gracious leadership God can give you. And you can't get a better offer than that. Our dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for the times that I didn't follow Christ's leadership. I'm sorry for the times I was arrogant. I was angry. I thought I knew it all. I'm sorry for the times I went astray because I just wasn't willing to follow you. And I pray for myself, and I pray for everyone who's here today. I pray that somehow or another your Holy Spirit would whisper to our hearts, and we would be convinced that our lives would be better if we followed Christ more closely. And then I pray that because we are followers of Christ, we wouldn't be sucked in by our culture, and we would treat people the way Christ wants them to be treated, not the way the impulses of our heart drive us or the trends of culture drive us. Pray that we'd be sympathetic with each other. I pray that we'd be merciful to each other. I pray that we'd be gracious to each other because we're followers of Jesus Christ. Amen.